yes, I will worship your holy name.
Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Happy Easter. Good morning. Welcome to Sunrise Easter Worship here at Trinity Hoyleton. My name is Pastor Nate Wallenberg. It is a wonderful day, a beautiful day that the Lord has given us to celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, which gives us hope and gives us joy and reminds us that death has been swallowed up in victory. We are so thankful that you are with us today, whether you're here in person or joining us bright and early at home. Today, our order of service is going to follow what is printed for you there in the bulletin. This sunrise service here at Trinity Hoyleton is traditionally a youth-led or youth-prepared service, and so we've got a lot of youth that are going to be helping us out in various ways today, doing readings, playing musical instruments, and all kinds of other things. Some of the hymns and songs that we're going to sing this morning are not things that you would find in our hymnal, but they are all easily singable, and hopefully you will enjoy some of those different kinds of songs that we'll be singing today. We begin with our invocation. I'll invite you to please stand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked abandon their ways and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them turn to the Lord for mercy, to our God who is generous in forgiving. Holy and gracious God, I confess that I have sinned against you. Instead of loving and trusting you above all, I have been self-centered. Some of my sin I know, the thoughts and words and deeds of which I am ashamed, but some is known only to you. In the name of Jesus Christ, who died and rose for me, I ask forgiveness. Through his death, Jesus Christ has paid for your sins, and by his resurrection, he has guaranteed your forgiveness. In the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated. Maybe. I don't know what it's stuck on. Turn the lights down. Can you turn the lights down? Thank you.
Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early, while it was still dark. And saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." So Peter went out with the other disciple, and they were going toward the tomb. Both of them were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. And stooping to look in, he saw the linen cloths lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb. He saw the linen cloths lying there, and the face cloth, which had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen cloths, but folded up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went in, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture, that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. And as she wept, she stooped to look into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white, sitting where the body of Jesus had lain, one at the head and one at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." Having said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, 'I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God.'" Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and that he had said these things to her.
The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You may be seated for the reading of God's Word.
The Old Testament reading for today, Easter Sunday, is from Isaiah chapter 25, verses 6 through 9. On this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make for all peoples a feast of rich food, a feast of well-aged wine, of rich food full of marrow, of aged wine well refined. And he will swallow up on this mountain the covering that is cast over all peoples, the veil that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death forever. And the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces. And the reproach of his people he will take away from all the earth. For the Lord has spoken. It will be said on that day, Behold, this is our God. We have waited for him that he might save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. Let us be glad and rejoice in his salvation. Here ends the reading. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you, as of first importance, what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, as to one ultimately born, he appeared also to me. For I am the least of the apostles, unworthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me was not in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me. Whether that it was I or they, so we preach, and so you believed. Here ends the epistle reading. This is the word of the Lord.
Please stand for the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 16th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. When the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome bought spices so that they might go and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. And they were saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance of the tomb?" And looking up, they saw that the stone had been rolled back. It was very large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, dressed in a white robe, and they were alarmed. And he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they have laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." And they went out and fled from the tomb, for trembling and astonishment had seized them, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Having heard the word of God, we now confess our faith using the words of the Nicene Creed. We confess together. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshiped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. You may be seated. Our next song is Amazing Grace, My Chains Are Gone. Grace, mercy, peace, and Easter joy be unto you from God our Father and our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for our Easter sermon this morning is the Old Testament reading from Isaiah chapter 25, where we hear that God is preparing a feast for us on his holy mountain. Of course, it has seemed to human beings for years and years and years as though death is the one who gets to feast. And yet today, on Easter, we give thanks to God that death is swallowed up in victory. This is our text. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. What a satisfying sound that is. You're probably tired of hearing me say it, but what a difference a year makes. You know, last year on Easter Sunday and all throughout the entire Easter season, we didn't have anybody here in the sanctuary. It was just me. And I was coming to you in your homes over the internet. And so every single time, the entire Easter season, when I said Christ is risen, I didn't have anybody to respond. I had to say the response myself. But not today. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. I don't think I'm ever going to get tired of hearing you all say that. You know what else is pretty satisfying today? Not just the fact that we are here in church, but also just all of these different Easter traditions that we're seeing start to come back little by little, right? Things that we couldn't do last year that now we get to do again. And maybe we have a new appreciation for some of those things. Yesterday, the Lions Club had their Easter egg hunt in the park, and that was a great day, and we had perfect weather for it. In between the services today, we're not going to have our full Easter breakfast, but you know what? Socially distant donuts and coffee in the gym sounds pretty good to me right now. And I know there's a lot of you, your families are going to be getting together later today for gatherings that you weren't able to have last Easter. So I guess my point is, it seems like the world is kind of shaking off the dust a little bit, right? It's like everybody's going through a resurrection, if you will. It's just like what Isaiah says in verse 7 of this Old Testament reading. He will swallow up the covering that is cast over all peoples, the veil that is spread over all the nations. That's what it's felt like for a while. We've got this covering over us. But now we lift the veil and we breathe in that delicious spring air. And we certainly pray that things would continue to head in that direction. From our vantage point, Easter, especially Easter this year, is a day of hope, it's a day of joy, it's a day where we have this fresh optimism for what's coming in the future. And of course, it's not just about these earthly things, these temporary things that we've been missing that are starting to come back, but of course, on a much greater scale, Easter is about eternal hope. When we remember that the real covering, the real veil that has been covering over the entire earth and all nations is not really, in the end, the coronavirus. But it's actually sin and death. And Easter is this amazing reminder to us that Jesus has won the victory over all of those things. Our Lord's resurrection means that death never has the final say, never did, doesn't now, and never ever will. So again, how satisfying is that? We can relax. We can have peace. We can have the security of knowing that our souls are always in the Lord's hands, come what may. But here's a question for you, and it's an important one. How long do those feelings of satisfaction truly last? I mean, is this something that is going to make us satisfied until we get to next Easter a year from now? Is it something we carry with us all year long? Is it something that just lasts for, you know, these 7 weeks of the Easter season? Or maybe just about a month? Does it even last a week? Does it last even a whole day? I mean, how long before we forget about all of these alleluias that are ringing in our ears today? How long does it take? When will the satisfaction of this moment turn back into dissatisfaction and discontent? I mean, I'm sorry to have to talk about it that way, but we're just being honest here, right? Easter is awesome, but on this side of heaven, even while we celebrate Easter, we still are dealing with the brokenness of this creation. And even Easter joy can be hard to see shining through some of that brokenness at times. Here in Isaiah chapter 25, he's talking about this amazing meal that God prepares for us on his mountain. It says, a feast of rich food, a feast of well-aged wine, of rich food full of marrow, of aged wine well-refined. So think about the best meal you have ever had. Maybe Schnucks donuts and coffee, right? No, maybe something better than that. Think of something really, really amazing. You know, something that would be like at a fancy restaurant or your favorite restaurant or some really special occasion, you and your family getting together. And you get to eat whatever you want, right? You eat all of this delicious food and as much of it as you could possibly want. And when you're all done with it, you are full and you're happy. And maybe you loosen up your belt a little bit, and maybe you even take a little cat nap, right? Maybe you just kind of slip into a food coma and pass out in your chair, and it's great. But then what? Well, no matter how good the food is, and no matter how much you eat of it, at a certain point, you're going to be hungry again. That's just how it works, right? We might be satisfied for a little while, but it doesn't take long before our stomachs start grumbling all over again. That's true for all of us, but man, is that true for kids. Moms and dads, you know exactly what I'm talking about. I have been amazed lately at how much my little 18-month-old son, Max, can put away. It's amazing. I think at any given meal, Max probably eats more than his older brother and sister combined. It's like he's got a hollow leg or something. I think those of you who have actually seen Max eat, you know exactly what I'm talking about. And Katie posted a video on Facebook the other day of Max eating this sandwich out of my hands. And he's just like going to town. He's just like putting his whole face into the sandwich. He just loves eating that much. When our whole family's together at lunchtime, he'll sit there in his spot and he'll eat a full meal. You know, he'll have like a hot dog and, I don't know, fruit, yogurt, you know, whatever we have. But then when it's time for him to get down, then he goes into what we call second lunch, which is where he goes around and just takes things off of everybody else's plates, usually Zoe's and Zach's plates, and he's very, very sneaky about it. That's his second lunch. But it doesn't even stop there, because then when I finally sit down with my food, it's like he's got this food radar, and he comes right up to me, he wants to sit on my lap, and he eats like half of what's on my plate too. That's third lunch. Right? He just loves to eat. And I'm starting to wonder what our grocery bills are going to look like when these kids are in high school. But, you know, all kidding aside, it's hard enough to satisfy the appetite of a growing toddler. But what's impossible for us, not just hard, but impossible for us, is to satisfy the appetite of our oldest enemy, which of course is death itself. Remember how it all got started? Remember this feeling of discontent, this veil that has spread over all nations, and how it all started in the Garden of Eden? And isn't it interesting how when death first entered into God's perfect creation, it was because our first parents, Adam and Eve, it's because they were not content with the food that God had given them to eat. Right? So eating of the fruits of the garden and eating of the tree of life, it didn't seem to be enough for them at that time. They wanted more. They wanted to eat of the knowledge of good and evil. And they certainly got that knowledge, didn't they? And for thousands and thousands of years since, all of mankind has had an intimate knowledge of good and evil. And if we're being honest with ourselves, we probably focus in on the evil most often. Death just lurks around every corner. Death is hungrier than a toddler. Death eats more than three lunches. Death has been feasting on people, on animals, on all living things for way too long. And no matter how many lives are lost, it doesn't seem like death is ever fully satisfied. But you know who else isn't satisfied? the Lord of heaven and earth. He isn't and never has been satisfied to let death just swallow up everything and everybody in sight without there being an end to all the pain and suffering that death brings along with it. And that, my friends, is exactly what Easter is all about. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. And so just like Isaiah says, he has prepared a feast on his holy mountain. First and foremost, on the mountain called Calvary, on the cross of Good Friday, death was actually given the opportunity to swallow up even the very Son of God. So much greater than the sacrifice that I might make or any parent might make, you know, giving away half of our lunch to an insatiable child. Much greater than that sacrifice is the sacrifice of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, giving up his life on the cross, dying for the sins of the world. In the entire history of life and death on this planet, that one death is the only death that was actually able to break the cycle, actually able to kill death's appetite once and for all. You know how I know that's true? Because the tomb was empty. We just heard about that in our gospel reading in Mark chapter 16. When the women arrive early in the morning, the angel tells them, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. I'm just going to keep making you say it to make up for last year. But you know, really, when you think about every other account that we have in Scripture of someone rising from the dead, if you think about Lazarus, Jairus' daughter, the widow's son, people like this, even though they were raised from the dead, death still had its opportunity to feast upon them because every single one of them died again, eventually. But with Jesus, it's different. Jesus is different from all the others. Jesus Christ rose on Easter and never died again. He was alive that day, and he's alive right now, seated at the right hand of God the Father. And because we belong to him, death's appetite is no longer a threat to us either. We are Easter people. We are people of the resurrection. And we live all the time with one foot in this veil of tears. But while we may be in this world, we are not of this world. Because we belong to Jesus Christ. We are attached to him. We've been brought to faith. We've been washed and cleansed in the waters of holy baptism. We have been strengthened with his body and blood. So even though we may have to deal with the reality of death in this world, we, as Christians, have a completely different outlook on all of it. We have a new, fresh, optimistic perspective, like I mentioned before. Our souls are eternally satisfied because our Lord is right now preparing a place for us at his feast, at his banquet table, on his holy mountain. And on the day when we finally get to experience that for ourselves, just like Isaiah says here, he will wipe away all tears from all faces. Death can't swallow us up with its hunger anymore. Instead, death itself is the one who gets swallowed up in victory. And all that's left for us then is to swallow up the foretaste of that feast to come, to approach his table, to receive his gifts, to be eternally satisfied with his mercy and his grace. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Thanks be to God. Happy Easter. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. In our prayers today, we do have a few updates to the prayer list for you. Under ongoing health needs, we are including Greg Natier. He has recently been diagnosed with prostate cancer, and he will be undergoing some treatments soon. We're also continuing to pray for baby Layla Mae Bailey, the newborn daughter of Alyssa Schnicker and Ray Bailey, as she continues to grow in the NICU. We're also giving thanks and praise to God today for the birth of Jace Henry Michael. That is the newborn son of Clinton and Kayla Michael. Please stand as we go to God in prayer. Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Lord God, on this glorious day, fill your people with a holy joy at the resurrection of your Son, that we would tremble no longer before the grave, but rejoice and live in the truth of your power to save. Lord, in your mercy. Be with Matt Harrison, our Synod President, Tim Schar, our District President, and all our pastors. Keep them faithful to deliver to your people the apostolic gospel of your Son's death, burial, and resurrection. Bless the efforts of our partners in mission and ministry, including Pastor Joel Fritchie in the Dominican Republic, and also our sister congregation, Trinity Lutheran in Nashville and TSJ Lutheran School. Bless them as they continue to work through the call process for their senior pastor position. Be with Associate Pastor James Miller as he serves in that role during the interim. We also lift before you the call process here at Trinity Hoyleton for our school administrator position. If it be your will, quickly lead us to the person you have chosen to serve our school. Lord, in your mercy, let us hold fast to the word preached to us, that receiving it with joy, we may take our stand in it and be saved by it. Hinder all who would sow doubt into our hearts, and grant us courage to confess its truth in our life and conversation. Lord, in your mercy. Bless our President Joe Biden and all who make and administer our laws. Frustrate the forces of evil, and do not let our leaders cooperate with them or further their goals. Guard our armed forces as they stand watch for us at home and abroad, especially Michael, Daniel, Brett, Jesse, Chase, Isaac, Patty, Robert, Austin, Cody, Ward, Caitlin, Colby, Eric, Daniel, Joyce, Tanya, Shaylin, and Alex. Let them serve with honor and integrity. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, we rejoice with those who rejoice, and we lift before your throne all those who are celebrating birthdays this week, especially Marvin, Stephanie, Annie, Audra, Alexander, Catherine, Janice, Cruz, Pauline, Emily, Jackson, Randy, Jane, and Jared. Be with them as they enjoy another year in service to you and their neighbors. We also give you thanks and praise today for the birth of Jace Henry Michael. We pray that you would bless him and his parents as we await the day when Jace will be brought to the font of holy baptism. Lord, in your mercy, have mercy on the sick and those in any need, especially those who are on our prayer list, including those who are in care facilities, Thretta, Ferris, Bill, Helen, Esther, Bessie, and Brian, and all those with ongoing health needs and concerns, Margaret, Fran, Marvin, Amy, Beulah, Verdell, Jim, Richard, Teddy, Carlene, Alma, Jim, Mike, Greg, Linda, Francis, Chris, Janelle, Eileen, Jean, Sam, Laverne, Norma, Layla, all those who are fighting cancer, all those who have been affected by the coronavirus. Let the dawning light of the new creation in Christ sustain them in faith, in accord with your will, grant them renewed health, a foretaste of their eternal healing in him. Lord, in your mercy, give us joy in your Son's great victory feast as he shares it with us from this altar, in the eating of his true body and the drinking of his precious blood in faith. Overcome our sin by his forgiveness and swallow up our death in his life that we may be glad and rejoice in his salvation. Lord, in your mercy, comfort those who mourn with the truth of Christ's empty tomb, that in the midst of their grief, they may abide in the hope of his resurrection. Uphold them in faith as they await the day when you will wipe away every tear from all faces. Lord, in your mercy. We join today in singing eternal alleluias with innumerable angels in festal gathering, with the assembly of the firstborn enrolled in heaven, and with the spirits of the righteous made perfect. We bring these petitions before you, dear Father, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Congregation may be seated. Just as a reminder, if any of you brought an offering with you, we are not collecting those here in the sanctuary, but there is a basket in the narthex. You may place your offering in the basket as you leave worship today. I'm going to invite the elders to come forward and help me set the table for communion. And at this time, we will hear a duet, Jesus Christ is Risen Today. Please stand. Let us pray. Blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth, for you have had mercy on us and given your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. We give you thanks for the redemption you have prepared for us through Jesus Christ. Send your Holy Spirit into our hearts that he may establish in us a living faith and prepare us joyfully to remember our Redeemer and receive him who comes to us in his body and blood. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper. When he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of all of your sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. You may be seated.
Thank you. Thank you.
Please stand. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for giving us your precious body and blood, and for the joy of sharing together in this Holy Supper. Strengthen our faith in your promise, and give us the assurance of your continuing presence with us. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Receive the blessing of the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with his favor and grant to you his peace. Amen. You may be seated. Our closing hymn is "The Strife Is O'er, the Battle Done." Good morning. Just got to catch my breath from running up and down the stairs. Let's see. 6,700 steps already. Not bad for 8 in the morning, huh? Thank you for beginning your Easter Sunday with us this morning. What a joy it is to gather together in the Lord's house and celebrate our Lord's resurrection. Just a few announcements for you. Like I mentioned, there are donuts and coffee available on behalf of the stewardship board. We would love to have you join us over there. They are providing all of that. There's also Sunday school happening between services today. So kids can go grab a donut, and then about 8:20, gather by the stage, and there's going to be an egg hunt devotion, and then you're going to be going to your classes until 9 o'clock this morning. A couple other things to mention. If you have donated one of these lovely Easter lilies behind me, those can be picked up today after the late service, so about 11 o'clock or so later this morning, you can come back and pick those up. Also, an announcement about women's Bible study. Women's Bible study had been meeting on Thursdays during Lent, but now that we are in the season of Easter, we're going to move back to Wednesday nights. So that will happen this Wednesday at 7 o'clock. And the last thing I wanted to mention, I mentioned this last week as well, that we will be having a call meeting for our voters next Sunday, immediately following the worship service. The call committee for school administrator is ready to present some candidates to the congregation for your vote. So we would love to have our voters to stick around after church next Sunday for that meeting. Any other announcements today? All right, well, enjoy the rest of your Easter and in this entire Easter season. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Happy Easter to you and your family.